This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد آتينا داود وسليمان علما وقال الحمد لله الذي فضلنا على كثير من عباده المؤمنين. صدق الله العظيم. سبحان الله. We're moving forward in this amazing riveting chapter of the Quran, like the entire Quran is. And we concluded in the previous segment the tale story and the narrative and a brief look at the incident of Musa عليه السلام as described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We now move on to another story, and this is going to feature fairly, actively in the verses to come ahead. And this is verse 15 that opens up and introduces this great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that was Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. So there's certain mention of certain aspects which is unique to this chapter, and follow along inshallah. We take a cue and a reflection from every verse, letter, and word of the Quran. That being said, verse 15, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا. And surely we blessed Dawood and Sulaiman, father and son, with knowledge. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا. Indeed, we blessed, favored Dawood and Sulaiman with knowledge. Knowledge here means divine knowledge, prophethood. They both were kings. So in terms of ruling, governing kingdom, etc. Likewise, and I will share with you in passing judgment. فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَان. Allah had blessed them with this art and ability to pass judgment, to, you know, conflict resolution, to pronounce judgment on matters, etc. Allah had blessed them with this amazing art and ability. So they were kings, they were prophets, they were obviously wise individuals. Allah had blessed this family immensely. اعملوا آل داود شكرا. اعملوا آل داود شكرا. Oh, the family of Dawood, be grateful. And a reflection here, this is of Surah Saba. Allah says, display gratitude. Allah didn't say ushkuru, right? Of course, we need to verbally also express, but the expression of the Quran here is اعملوا, walk the talk. And of course, Dawood and Sulaiman alayhima min Allahi as-salatu wa taslim were the most grateful servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam once said to Allah, Ilahi kayfa ashkuruka wa shukri laka ni'ma. Oh my Allah, how can I fully express my gratitude to you when gratitude is also your bounty? So you favor me with a bounty, then I respond with gratitude, but I'm obligated to you to be grateful to you. And then Allah said to Dawood, Al-an shakartani. When you exhaust everything and you confess your inability, then this is gratitude. And in Tafsir al-Uthmani, something very beautiful written under this ayah, very profound. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah writes that when Allah favors you with a bounty, surely that's His favor. And then above that, if He grants you the ability to be grateful, then the truth be told, the ability to be grateful is greater than the bounty itself. Yes. Did you comprehend that, my brother? Did you process that, my sister? Did you digest that, my young son? When Allah gives you an ability, Allah has given you health, Allah has given you wealth, Allah has given you prominence, Allah has given you fame, Allah has given you acceptance, Allah has given you the ability to perform salah diligently, regularly, your tahajjud, your nafal, etc. This is the bounty of Allah upon you. You're a generous person. You help people. You empower people. People feel good, nice. Alhamdulillah, that's great. That's wonderful. And that's the nature. If you're a generous person, people will gravitate towards you. People will be, it's almost like a nectar. It will just attract. It will just attract. Now, if you are grateful on that bounty, then that actually, the gratitude is greater than the bounty. Okay, let's explore. Amazing. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا. Indeed, we favored, blessed Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam with knowledge, like I told you, sacred knowledge, divine knowledge, and that's the greatest. In Tanbih al-Ghafilin, there's this famous dialogue and discussion where people were debating, is worldly knowledge greater or spiritual and sacred knowledge? And then some said this and some said that. And then they sent a delegation to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was the father of tafsir, who was a fountain of knowledge, who was a devout companion, who was erudite, and his erudition was unanimous. His erudition was unanimous. And he said, of course, the knowledge of deen. And then the envoy said, in sa'aluni anil hujja mada aqulu lahum. If they ask me for proof, what do I tell them? So then Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu gave multiple proofs and evidence. And amongst that he said, وَلِأَنَّ صَاحِبَ الْمَالِ يَنْقَطِعُ ذِكْرُهُ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ. A wealthy person is wealthy and prominent for as long as he's got money, or best case scenario, for as long as he lives. Once he dies, it's over. But a person who leaves behind knowledge, his prominence and fame and recognition continues post his death as well. Number two, a wealthy person will be taken to account for every cent, for every ounce, for every pound, for every bill and every note, for every dollar, for every euro. He will be taken to account for it. While a person with Quran and Hadith who lives the life according to it, he will enjoy elevation in Akhirah for every verse that he conveyed and transmitted and memorized and understood and conveyed to people, and for every hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he shared many other proof and evidence to the fact that the knowledge of deen is absolute and sacred. وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So both father and son said qala. Basic Arabic grammar, it's tathniya, dual. But then when you continue reading, you will recite it as وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي وَقَالَ. They both express their praise to Allah and their gratitude to Allah. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Alhamdu in Arabic grammar, istighraq, as you would say. Yani jami'u anwa'il hamd. All types of praises belongs to Allah. Har fard hamd az-zuban har hamid min al-azalli ila al-abad mukhtassum billahi ta'ala. Every word of praise and the tongue of every praiser from the inception of time till the end of time is exclusive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh man, I have this amazing reflection. So in Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ala innal izzata lillahi jami'a. Respect and honor belongs to Allah only. Hakim al-Ummah in Bayan al-Quran explains so beautifully, yet we see humans are also respected, right? But Allah says respect only belongs to Allah. So he says, إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَمَا يُتَرَاءَ لِغَيْرِهِ هُوَ لَهُ حَقِيقَةً كَالضِّيَاءِ لِلشَّمْسِ حَقِيقَةً وَإِنَّمَا يُظْهَرُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ بِنَوْعٍ مِّنَ التَّعَلُّقِ فَفِيهِ أَصْلٌ لِمَسْأَلَةِ الْمَظْهَرِيَّةِ. Oh man, I just love this. So, respect belongs to Allah exclusively. And what you see that others enjoy in the form of respect is just a glimpse of what Allah has given them. But otherwise, respect belongs to Allah. And then he gives the analogy that brightness belongs to the sun. Now you say it's brighter year and it's lighter year. It means the reflection of the rays of the sun is stronger year. It's not an independent light. It's trying to generate light and draw light and extract light from the solar system. But effectively, light and brightness belongs to the sun. And of course, that's the beauty of our deen. We say the sun is not bright by itself. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا. Right? It is Allah who's given the sun the brightness. It is Allah that has given the moon the brilliance. But outwardly in the solar system, it is the sun that has that burning ball of flame and brightness. And yes, whatever light you see elsewhere is drawing from that sun. It's getting energy from that resources of nature. So honor and respect belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ, they both said, أَلْحَمْدُ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا. All praise belongs to Allah, who's given us virtue, merit, privilege, and significance, عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, over many of his believing bondsmen. So father and son expressed their gratitude to the Almighty that Allah has given us so much above his creation. In Tafsir al-Uthmani, amazing reflection. What did they say? عَلَى كَثِيرٍ. All praise belongs to Allah, who's given us virtue over a significant number of his believing creation. Why did they not say the entire creation? Because that statement is exclusively reserved for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. the only human in the annals of history that can say, I am the best of Allah's entire creation is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he said, wa ana habibullahi wa la fakhar. I am the beloved of Allah, and I say this without any pride and arrogance. Two quick incidents regarding the, you know, the story of Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam, and then we'll progress with what is discussed here in the verses to follow. So one is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in Surah Al-Anbiya, the chapter of prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about two people who presented. And the other one that I'm going to reference is also about two litigants and two people who presented their case before Dawood alayhi salatu was salam. What is the backdrop of it? Surah Anbiya in the 17 juz of the Quran. وداود وسليمان إذ يحكمان في الحرث إذ نفشت فيه غنم القوم. And remember the time when Dawood and Sulaiman were deciding and presiding and passing judgment over a matter. So there was this Sahib al-Ghanam, a shepherd, who left his flock, and his flock then pastured into the farm of a farmer, destroying all the crops. And that is nafasha linguistically. So nafasha means that the ghanam and the shat are just grazing without any shepherd. And it destroyed the entire crops. So the farmer came, Sahib al-Harth, and the Sahib al-Ghanam, the shepherd, they came and they presented. Dawood alayhi salam heard the merits of the case. He then evaluated the cost, and he discovered that the negligence of the shepherd, that his sheep had strayed into the farm of the farmer, destroying the crops, the value of that crops and the value of the flock of sheep were equal. So Dawood alayhi salam said to the farmer, said to the shepherd, your negligence, you left your flock, so you will have to take your flock of sheep and give it to the farmer so he can offset the loss that he incurred. The judgment was passed. The ruling was accepted. They leave the court of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, and they pass by Sulaiman, who is the son. At that time, he was a young boy. This is mentioned in Sawi, which is a commentary, and in the footnotes of Jalalain, this is where I seen it. So when they passed by Sulaiman alayhi salam, he said, what was the ruling and the judgment of my dad? He said, your dad said, due to the negligence of the shepherd, his sheep has destroyed my crops, so he must hand over his entire flock so that I can, you know, cover my costs. So he said, okay, point taken. If I was made in charge of this matter, لَقَضَيْتُ مَا هُوَ أَرْفَقْ بِالْفَرِيقَيْنِ, my judgment would have been different. Without opposing the verdict of my dad, salute and respect to my dad, I just have a different view. And this is what we refer to as ijtihad. Ijtihad is the thinking process of one Nabi can differ from another Nabi. One jurist can differ from another jurist, right? Of course, the jurist must have a yakun al-mujtahid mimman lahu ra'yun wa ilmun بقواعد الشرع حتى يميز بين العرف الذي يجوز بناء الأحكام عليه وبين غيره. That jurist must be someone who's well anchored and he is well versed. In fact, Imam Shatibi, عندما عد الإمام الشاطبي شروط المجتهد كان الشرط الأول أن يكون عالما بمقاصد الشريعة. He must be well versed on the maqasid of the sharia. And likewise, as the scholars have said, لو أن الرجل حفظ جميع كتب أصحابنا لابد له أن يتلمذ للفتوى لابد له أن يتلمذ للفتوى لأن كثيرا من المسائل يجاب عنه على عادات أهل الزمان فيما لا يخالف الشريعة. You can see this, it's mentioned, man, amazing, in the books of Ifta, in Usul al-Ifta, that's where I read it. That a person can be well-grounded, but he needs to be sitting under another mufti and get the guidance and the tutelage to which he can be guided how he must pronounce rulings. So the point I'm saying, it's perfectly fine with the judgment of one Nabi can differ from another Nabi, one jurist can differ from another jurist, provided it's all guided by the principles of Quran and Sunnah, of course. So when Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam heard that Sulaiman had a different view, he said, بِحَقِّ الْأُبُوَّةِ وَالنُّبُوَّةِ, through the agency of fatherhood and prophethood, I ask you, oh my son, please come here and I want to listen to your opinion. Now let's pause for a moment. My father, my senior, my guardian, my elder, you might have a ruling and an opinion. And if your son or your younger or your junior or your student has a different opinion, are you amenable to it? Yes, I would suggest to him, follow the respectful protocol. Apply the sensitivity and the necessary decorum. But are you open to listen to another view, or do you shut off? Do you shut off? Well, the nature of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam were, as I share with you, Dawood and Sulaiman, whom Allah lavishly praises. So Sulaiman alayhi salam said, I would say to the shepherd, you take your flock and you give it to the farmer temporarily, momentarily, and not permanently. In the interim, yantafi'u bilabaniha wa sufiha wa nasliha. He will benefit from whatever birth takes place. He would draw milk from their udders. Whatever fur and skin he removes, he can use it. So that will keep him going. And I would say to the shepherd, in the interim, you cultivate the land, you irrigate the land, and then you plant again and bring the crops back to the point in which it was. Then you return the farm back to the farmer. So he has his crops at that point to that level in which he had lost it. In the interim, your flock of sheep will sustain him, and the harm that would come to you would be minimal, because once you return the farm to him, he will return your flock to him. Subhanallah, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam expressed this profound judgment. Dawood alayhi salam was so impressed by it. He said, Al-qada'u ma qadayta ya bunayya. Al-qada'u ma qadayta ya bunayya. Oh my son, I now revoke and retract my verdict, and I pass judgment by your judgment. So from this we learn, we can learn from others. We can learn from people that are younger than us. We can learn from juniors. We need to be open, to be obstinate and rigid is not the quality of great people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the ninth juz, in Surah Al-A'raf, that one of the traits of the disbelievers were that فَمَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا بِمَا كَذَّبُوا بِهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Once they denied something and they refuted it, their pride and arrogance will never allow them to accept it. فِيهِ ذَمٌ لِلْتَمَادِ وَاللَّجَاجِ وَالْعِنَادِ وَالْإِصْرَارِ. Hakim al-Ummah in Bayan al-Quran writes, the ayah sounds a strong word and a warning, a sharp warning to condemn being obstinate and rigid and not entertaining or considering or allowing for processing another opinion. And then he says, sadly, this has become the trait of many so-called scholars. لا يرجعون عما صدر عنهم أول الوهلة ولو ظهر عليهم بطلانه. That they will never have the courage to retract or revoke something they have uttered, because it would be, against their self-esteem, although the opposite has become apparent to them. We'll leave it on that note. Alhamdulillah الذي فضلنا على كثير من عباده المؤمنين. Verse 15, we've just opened up the discussion and we're still exploring the amazing stories that the Quran tells us about this father and son. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants us that nature, that we can be accessible, we can be amenable, that people can reach out to us, we can listen to people, we can give recognition to the views of others. Because one of the signs of Qiyamah is إِعْجَابُ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ, where every person will become obsessed with his own opinion.